Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns.
First of all, happy St. Patrick's Day. I hope you're all wearing green as a nod to the Irish spirit. And I hope you have the theme music is still playing. Thank you so much. And I hope that you all have the opportunity today to spin a bit of Blarney and lighten some spirits and create a wee bit of Irish fun wherever you are. I also want to thank all of you who supported our KMUN Pledge Drive last week and welcome our new members. Thanks to you, we can continue to provide radio programming you just can't find anywhere else. If it's in our hands, we can't move forward until you send it back. And stand and be counted. Sound familiar? You've been hearing some phrases from the U.S. Census Bureau to encourage your participation in the 2010 census, which is happening right now. In fact, I just got my census questionnaire in the mail yesterday, and I imagine many of you did as well. Today, we're going to learn some historical facts along with some other little-known and fascinating census-centric information from my guest, Adrienne Shaw, who is the Beaverton Assistant Manager for Recruiting. She's located in Beaverton. She's the Assistant Manager for Recruiting for the U.S. Department of Commerce. She works with seven counties, including Clatsop County. And today, Adrienne is joining us by phone from her office in Beaverton. Thanks so much for being here today, Adrienne.
It is my pleasure, Donna.
Well, before we start talking about the census, let's talk a little bit about Adrienne Shaw. Please tell us about yourself.
Well, this is a wonderful opportunity for me. I am the assistant manager for recruiting in Beaverton, and we handle seven counties. A little bit about my background. I have experience with the U.S. Census. I worked for them in 1999 to prepare for the 2000 census, and then I worked for the census in 2000 where I was a recruiting assistant. And now I've been going to school, and I have an MBA in marketing. Very pleased to have had the opportunity to work for the census because, as you know, the census is about counting statistical data. So this goes hand in hand with what I've been working on to get my degree.
And when, Adrienne, I have a quick question about when you say recruiting, could you please explain to people who may not understand what that means? What does that mean, recruiting, for the census?
Specifically, Donna, recruiting means that we test the potential applicants for employment, and once we have achieved our goals, which we're hoping to do shortly, what that means is they would become qualified applicants. And so I have in the field from time to time, I've had up to 27 recruiting assistants who go out and look for testing locations and then conduct those tests. And it's a very basic test covering a little bit of math, a little bit of English, and logic questions.
And these and you are recruiting people to do what exactly, Adrienne?
There are several positions. One of them is being a clerk. And we have people who work in and around the Washington County area who have taken those jobs. Some people do commute in a little bit further from Yamhill County. And then also the enumerators, we hire the most that are enumerators. And then there are assistant crew leaders and crew leaders. And there's also supervisors of those crew leaders, and we have those positions posted.
So wait a minute. It sounds to me like almost everybody is a census recruiter. So I mean, it sounds like it's a huge number of folks who are helping create the census, right?
That's right. So it takes all of the office staff, and that takes the recruiting assistants, and then also we have a division called partnership assistants, and I have five partnership assistants right now, and they do a little bit of both recruiting and also doing public relations with our partners in the community.
All right. Well, maybe we should back up now and talk about what is the census, why do we have a census, a little bit about maybe some historical background on the U.S. Census.
Oh, I would be happy to share that with you, Donna, and your listening public. The census is a cornerstone of American democracy. It is mandated in our Constitution that we conduct a census every 10 years. And so the current census will start occurring on April the 1st for 2010. The Census Act was mandated in 1790, which specified that all residents be counted, citizens and non-citizens alike. And every decade, we start that effort a year in advance, So we started actually in 2009 to get started on the 2010 census.
And the purpose of the census, the initial purpose of the census was?
Well, when you have a population that is growing, then you need to have the resources to take care of that growing population. Also, the state population data from the census will be released to determine the new distribution of House seats. So all of our offices are located in congressional districts. And so the district boundaries might grow, and then that means there would be a process of called redistricting if that number would require it from the census count of everyone.
Adrian, do other countries have censuses, or only other democratic countries, or are we the only one?
No, we're not the only one. The difference is every country has a different way that they approach their census counting of their population.
And is it something, it's not similar to ours then? I mean, it's a completely different kind of thing, or is there a reason why we've arrived at the way we do it here now?
Well, every country is different the way they keep statistical data on their citizens. For example, I understand in Turkey, the country of Turkey, that they actually use their utilities to verify their census data.
I see.
So whoever is being provided with utility service, that helps them to plan out their census counting.
And the information that you need from the general public, from the American public, from everyone who is here living in America or the United States of America right now is what?
Oh, this new census form is new and improved, and it's shorter. For example, there are only 10 questions. And the only way that it would get lengthy is if you had more than one person in your home. And they can count up to, I think, there's unlimited how many people can count, but the form will go out to about 12 members in a home. And then the questions are so generic. I like to say that because I just got my form and completed it, and it was less than 5 minutes.
And the questions that are asked on the census form really have to do with, why don't we just talk about what are those questions on the census form that people will be seeing?
Okay, I'll be happy to answer that. Question number one, it says how many people were living or staying in this house or apartment or mobile home on April the 1st, 2010? You would simply list the number of people that are living in your home as of April the 1st, 2010. Number two, were there any additional people staying here April the 1st, 2010 that you did not include in question one? Number three, is this house, apartment, or mobile home? They're asking what type of dwelling it is, okay? And they ask questions like, is the home owned by you? Is the home owned by someone else? Is it rented or occupied without payment of rent? Number four, what is your telephone number? And it says, number five, please provide information for each person living here. And what is the person number one name? So they're only asking for the first person, the head of the household maybe, to put in their last name and their first name, middle initial. And number six, what is the person's sex, male or female? What is the person's age and what is the person's date of birth? That's number seven. And number eight, is this person one of Hispanic, Latino, or Spanish origin? And they give you several options. And number nine, what is the person one's race? And this is where they ask you to list your particular race. And number 10, does person number one sometimes live or stay somewhere else? And I guess this is where you would answer if you're living in college housing, or is this person away for seasonal? Is this a seasonal residence? And that's all the questions.
Adrian, in your experience, since you've had experience with the census, why do you feel people are reluctant to participate? Some people are. Some people have a fear of the census. Can we talk a little bit about that?
We sure can. There's some people that worry that you receive a very official envelope. It could appear to look like maybe you've already voted, perhaps in Oregon, and you say, why am I getting ready to vote again? Then the other issue, it might look like a bill of some kind or an invoice of some kind. And another thing is people are afraid of what they might consider a scam. You know, you get so much mail in your mailbox, you have to sit there and sort through it and determine, is this really what I want to open today or is this what I want to open next week? Some people don't throw away any mail. But I think once they've had time to analyze, this is going to come in a very official-looking envelope. Also, it is postage paid to return it to us. Then the ominous appearance of a large envelope in your mailbox might not be something you could fear.
The other thing is, I think now in today's world with, you know, identity theft, maybe people are afraid to give out personal information. Do you feel that that is when, because you send out these forms, and in the best of all worlds, everybody just says, oh, here's the census form. They fill it out. They send it back. However, the reason that you are hiring all these recruiters is because there are people who don't participate, who don't send it back. And so are these recruiters going out to actually talk with people and say, there's nothing to fear, your information is private? I mean, explain about privacy and information and all that kind of thing, please.
I sure will. And the form does not require you to enter your Social Security number. So that's something that can be removed as far as a fear is concerned. It only asks for your telephone number, your last name, your first name, and your age and your date of birth. So it doesn't ask you about your Social Security number. So the reason why we have the enumerators start knocking on doors is because we will take blank forms with us, and we will knock on your door and say, we mailed you a census form. Perhaps you didn't get it, or maybe you discarded it in error, but we'd like to collect these 10 questions from you. And at that time, that might take the fear out of participating in the census. You have someone who has knocked at your door, very cordial, very respectful, and maybe that extra few minutes that you see this is a form that is going to be used strictly by the census. They can also visit our website. That answers a lot of their questions, www.census2010.gov, and also about the protection of your information. The census protects your personal data, your name, your telephone number, your date of birth, for 72 years. That cannot be given to the public. What is used is that statistical data that I was talking about earlier. What is your race? How many people are in your home? How many people are under the age of 18? These are all important pieces of data that help every community to collect monies to help run their communities. Each person who fills out the census form, that means about $14,000 that your state will receive for the next 10 years on your behalf. And that pays for your infrastructure.
I can see why people might have a fear about perhaps giving out the their date of birth or their name or something like that. Is the name, if this is just statistical data that you all are compiling, and we'll talk about how you do that or what you do with it, is there, what is the reason for the actual names then for people? Because I've heard some people say, well, I don't mind telling them my age, and I don't mind telling them, you know, my sex, my race, all of those things. But I don't really want them to know my name. Is there a hang-up on that for some people?
Well, let me tell you why your name and your telephone number are very important. If you've noticed, we didn't ask for the address. Okay? We want to make sure that we're getting census information that is accurate. Why we might call you is if we got a form that was damaged or soiled, then we would be able to call you and say, we have a form here. It's not legible. Can we go ahead and review that information with you? And also, for quality assurance, we might want to ask you, how was the enumerator? Were they professional when they got to your door? Were they nice? Did they appear to represent us? Because they will have to represent us with a badge. They have a badge. They have a bag with the census, a name on it. But other than that, they won't have business cards, but they will have their badge. And if you were to say, I want their name, and I want to know where they work, and I want to know who they work for, they can produce that information.
An enumerator is basically what people would say in layman's terms, a census taker, correct?
Absolutely.
And those are the people that we will see in our communities. When will they start? When will they finish?
They'll start April 1st, and they will have different campaigns during the year. follow-up campaigns to make sure that we've covered an area. Maybe it was an area where a lot of people were on vacation. We will go back, try again to reach those people that are out of their home at the time that we knock. So the follow-up visits might not complete until July.
Has the census, Adrian, contributed to providing any jobs in Clatsop County or in the seven counties that you work with?
Oh, yes, ma'am. We have attempted, and we are going to be successful by the end of this month, to test 8,000 applicants. And there are different campaigns that will start, and we may be hiring 2,000 people to start very shortly. And when we say applicants, they also have to be qualified applicants. So what they want to do, anyone who has not tested, I need you to call our office as soon as possible, and we will schedule you for a test. That toll-free number is 866-861-2010, and simply enter in your zip code, and you will be transferred to the appropriate office. We will get you scheduled for a test, and you'll complete an application. And what we're doing besides hiring enumerators, we're looking for assistant crew leaders and crew leaders. And what that means is while the enumerators are out in the field, they have supervision, and it is close supervision. So that crew leader might have 50 people on their in their crew leader district, and that crew leader and that assistant crew leader are following closely to see how they're doing in the field, monitoring what streets they're on. They know closely about how long it would take to census a zip code, because we've done that before.
So the applicants who are going to be taking these tests, which are fairly basic, as you said, are people who then would be hired by the U.S. Department of Commerce for the census for a period of these months of April, May, June, July, like 3 or 4 months. And would this is this a full-time job or just a part-time job? Can people be working and then just do this part-time, or is it full-time?
No, Donna, it is not full-time, and it is not permanent. It is short-term employment, 2 weeks or more, depending on the location.
Okay.
And may I add that it's good pay. It's $15.25 per hour, depending on the position and the location. It can start at $15.25, depending on the location. And what we like to do when we have an applicant, right now, we would be hiring for traditional hours, Monday through Friday, but we do expand and hire people to work 7 days a week and a second shift. So if someone is only able to work 20 hours, we still want them to apply, because we might call them and say, we have an area that we need to canvas and do census taking between the hours of 4 p.m. and 7 p.m., or on Saturday and Sunday. And our office works two shifts right now. So we have our office open from 7:30 a.m. until 8 p.m. at night. And depending on some of the projects, we might work a little longer and on Saturday and Sunday.
That's great to know, Adrian. Thank you. You are very knowledgeable about all of this. Let's take, okay, we have Clatsop County, and we have a certain population number that we think is the population number for Clatsop County, and part of the census is to determine what are the actual numbers.
And, absolutely.
And then let's go ahead and just pull out, let's say, Astoria, which is a town of 10,000 people. So in a town like Astoria, Oregon, how many census takers would there typically be? How long would it take them to perform this census here in Astoria? And how many folks would you have on the streets here, let's say?
Well, that's a great city that you've picked. Astoria being about 10,000 citizens, we would hit the ground running and try to accomplish that goal within a month.
And how many would there be?
I'm going to just give you a general estimate. Let's say we would put into that area about 200 enumerators and crew leaders and crew leader assistants. And we always have the capability to hire more people when a campaign starts. Let's say that city had a lot of hills or mountains or, you know, terrain that, you know, are long yard ways. That means that census taker can't move that fast through a neighborhood. So we might bring in more people because of a neighborhood's street conditions or something like that.
Okay, so
some homes have like 16 steps, maybe, you know, there's 8 up and then 8 turn, well, that means you won't be able to enumerate as fast as you like, because you want to be courteous and give people time to answer the door.
Okay. Let's take an example that I have just gotten my census form, and I fill it out today. I mail it in tomorrow. Is a census taker going to come to my house, or are you going to know that I've already sent it in?
Two things are going to happen. We're going to have teams that are checking the census forms, identifying who has sent those in by their address, and we will do everything we can not to duplicate the effort of the mailing system, so that if you mail that form back in and we have it before April the 1st, then we won't come knocking at your door. But occasionally, there will be people that are enumerating that might not have gotten an up-to-date list. But let me tell you about the census. We are very, very efficient, and we try to produce different numbered sheets every day. So that means when the next crew leader comes in or sends in someone to pick up the next batch of addresses, we've tried to go through that next batch of addresses to remove anyone who's already sent in their form.
Okay.
Because we want to reduce bothering people. We don't want to appear to be a nuisance. We are there to assist you in your census form.
You talked earlier about the fact that the census you view it as the cornerstone of the democracy, of our democracy, and that it was mandatory in the Constitution. What happens if you, let's say, go to the home of a reclusive person, a person who says, you know, I know you're with the census and I just don't want to be counted? What do you do? Can you just say, okay, there's one person here that doesn't want to fill out the form? Or, I mean, how do you handle situations like that?
Well, we're all trained the same way. That's the beautiful thing about the census. We are all given the same training. Our enumerators, our assistant crew, well, let's start with our enumerators. Our enumerators get a thorough training up to 40 hours. So there are some questions that we might be able to answer to remove some of those barriers. Our assistant crew leaders and our crew leaders have a little bit more extensive training. So if they do get a call or a question before they enter into a neighborhood, and they say, well, the last neighborhood I was in, they didn't seem to be very receptive to me, we will have talking points so that the next block they might be able to make that person not be so conservative about the census. I think sometimes just a warm, friendly smile can make all the difference.
Yes, Adrienne, in every way.
Yes, absolutely.
And one of the, I have a form here in front of me with some information on it, and maybe one of the things people don't realize that the census does, I mean, as you've just said, there are 10 short questions basically asking for name, gender, age, race, ethnicity, relationship, and whether you own or rent your home, which takes just a few minutes to fill out.
Right.
And that more than $400 billion in federal funding is awarded to states and communities based on census data. That's, you know, $1,100 per person per year in Clatsop County, or $11,000 per person for the next decade that will come to Clatsop County for community services. And then it further says that census data are used to gauge the financial health of the community, redraw federal, state, and local voting and representative districts, forecast future transportation needs, plan for hospitals, nursing homes, clinics, and other health services, make business decisions and deliver goods and services to local markets, locate supermarkets, new housing, and other facilities, and develop rural areas. Do you want to elaborate on any of that? Because obviously you are a fan of the census. You think it's a very important thing, and that and you want the public to participate.
Well, you know, and that's beautiful what you've just recap there about what we do. The reason that I didn't mention the $400 billion in federal funds that are distributed every year to states and communities based in part on the census population data is because we want that local community that we're enumerating in, that they matter. They are part of that $400 billion. Okay? Now, each city, it takes 50,000 people to make a city. So they do feel important because they have full services in their cities. But the surrounding smaller communities, they matter too, because they have to have all of those same services, especially if they're approaching that large number of 50,000 people. But let's say that they're not there yet. Infrastructure, such as the right type of drainage for your streets. All those things matter. And so when you have the numbers counted, you can get those kinds of things added to your infrastructure. Utility companies need to know how many people are in a particular city because they need to plan ahead to put in the right wiring so that those new homes that are being built in the suburbs will have the right technology to get on the electrical grids and things like that. And we talked about children. I think what's really important before you're closing a school or building a new one, you need to know how many children are going to be needing those services. So the advanced planning that local cities can use and local governments can use, the census, is very important. Because when you're planning to spend your budget, you need to know how you're going to spend that money.
Thank you so much, Adrienne. We only have another minute or two here left. Is there any, are there any last thoughts that you have? Is there any other information you'd like to impart to folks about the census? The envelope says on the outside, United States Department of Commerce and U.S. Census Bureau. Anything else you'd like folks to know or to do as a result of listening to this program?
Wonderful, Donna. Well, you know, working for the census, I always tell everyone in my office or whoever works for me in the field, this is not just a job. This is a civic duty to our community. And right now, what I want to do for people is I want to get them hired. So the more people who call our number today, 866-861-2010, put in your zip code. You will be directed to our office. You can ask for anyone to set you up for a test anywhere in our state. So go ahead and do that. Our seven counties, we desperately need to hire more people. That question you asked me about Clatsop County, we definitely need more employees in that area. So please, everyone, if you will call the census today, we can get you working soon.
That's a good thing to know, and I will leave that phone number here for those of you who didn't have an opportunity, if you're driving or if you don't have a writing implement. I will leave that, and we will create a public service announcement so that you will know how to reach the website and the phone number. If you would like to be a census taker, if you'd like to work for the census April through July, then I will make sure that you have that information. Adrienne, thanks a million for all your hard work.
Oh, thank you, Donna. I appreciate you so much, and I'm looking forward to visiting your community very soon. So I'll be on the lookout for all those nice people in your area.
Well, we have great people in this area, and you will hopefully be welcomed warmly here in Clatsop County and in all the seven counties that you're working with, Adrienne. Thank you so much, and have a marvelous rest of St. Patrick's Day.
And thank you, Donna, and
okay.
Thank the public.
Okay.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Okay.
Bye.
Thanks, Adrienne. Okay, so now you know maybe more than you did know about the U.S. Census. I do, certainly. And it appears that this is something that we should all take care of as quickly as we can. And if you want to be hired, then, you can reach them through their website and their phone numbers. And we'll leave that here. Thanks, all of you, for your help with our pledge drive, for listening to this program. And I want to thank Terry Wilson, engineer, and also Kathleen Morgane, who was our engineer this morning, and local talented banjo instructor Michael Bruin for his original theme music for this program. Until next week, find a moment for yourself today. Take a deep breath with gratitude for all the good things in your life and focus on those good things and expand those. And then give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you and for doing the best you can, for being here now, in this moment, on the amazing planet we call Earth.